Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
Hi everyone, how are you? Good, you look beautiful today. It's so good to be in the house of God together. And so we are in full effect preparation for the Women Rock Conference. I mean, the Saints gathering is going to be nuts, guys. And I just have to tell you what God is doing in me. I'm going to try and not let it leak out of me today and stay focused on Galatians because there's so many massive big things that God is going to do at this conference. And so I do want to just put a little plug. If you have not signed up and you're going, well, I don't have the money and I don't want to ask and I'm embarrassed, please stop. Please. I just want you to come. I don't want you to miss out. If money's a problem, it's not a problem here at The Rock. Come and we will help you out. We'll make sure that you get into the house of God. I want your lives changed, and that's more important to me than anything else. And so please don't let any of that stop you from coming. Bring someone. I believe their lives are going to be changed, and God is doing something extravagant. That's the word I just keep getting. Extravagant. Of what God wants to do in our lives. And so I don't know about you, but coming out of COVID and all the things that have come with it, I could do some extravagance, you know, from heaven. So I believe God is going to touch our lives. He's going to redeem us. Dr. Vanessa was in Galatians last, right? You were the last one. And that was phenomenal. It was so good. I went back and listened. It was wonderful. And so now I do want to say to the people that are recording right now, I'm so sorry. We did not record the two before Dr. V, and because our system was not working properly well. So I will pre-preach those messages in the main sanctuary at some point. And I believe the whole body of Christ does need to actually understand the old law versus the new law and the depth of that. And so when Pastor Dan asked me to preach next, that will be what we preach on. And so So you will eventually get it, okay? But for now, we've been in Galatians, and boy, has it been timely. I'm reading Galatians, and Pastor Joey keeps hitting it on Sunday nights, and I'm like, don't go any further. That's my messages. Like, stop talking, Pastor Joe. Like, and I'm on the front row like, shh, you know? But I think he's almost preluding because he almost, like, touches where we're going, and then he never gets there. And so I think for you girls on Thursday mornings, you get triple the word because we're taking it a little further than he's been going with it. But in Galatians, God has been speaking to us. And so I want you to do something for me. I want you to turn your cell phones off. If you need to put, like, do not disturb, do that. Okay, do what you gotta do. Make sure they're off because I don't want there to be a distraction. I need you to put your thinking caps on today. What does that mean? Well, my dad used to say it, and I get it. Like, so I've got to, like, turn off my mind and the distraction from floaty thoughts. How many get floaty thoughts? Right? Like, you're like, ooh, scroll. No, stay focused, okay? We're going to get into the Word. We're going to dive into the Word. It's going to be good for all of us. And so I believe God has something for you. It will be life-changing for you today if you can grab a hold of it. And we're going to be talking about the freedom of love. Now, I know in a minute, all of you just had so many random feelings. Like, you hear the word of love and you're like, because you've been burned, which I totally get. Or you go, love, what is love? Psh, whatever. I don't agree with that. I don't really know what love is. Well, you're about to find out today. And if you understand, when we talk about love, we're not talking about the definition of love according to what the world says. We are Bible-believing, tongue-talking, on-fire Christians here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We believe everything the Word of God says. And when the Word of God speaks it, it is truth to our soul, and it is our way of living. And so when God talks about love, it is humongous. Why? Because the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, the Old Covenant was based off law. Remember, we learned that. And the New Covenant is now the law of love. So we have to understand what God says about love, how God sees love, and how God demonstrates love, and how God wants us to love in order for us to have freedom in who he is, freedom in the new covenant that we have with Jesus Christ. And so this is a beautiful time and season for us to jump in. I want you to go with me to Galatians 5. We're going to dive right into it because I don't want to waste any more time. All right, and we're going to read now. I'm not the best reader. I'm going to try and do it out of my Bible today. And Galatians 5, 7 through 15, okay? And it says, hold on, let me get my notes where they need to be. All righty. And it says, you ran well. He's talking to the people of God. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? And the persuasion does not come from him who calls you, talking about God. So he's like, he said a lot in just a little sentence. First, he's encouraging them. You ran well. Good job. You ran your race. Good job. Then he's saying, well, hold on. Who's persuading you? And it's not God. Have you ever had those conversations with your kids? Wait, you were doing so good. You're doing good. And then now what's happening? And where did you go? What just happened? I feel like that's what Paul just said to them. Like, hold on, we were on this path and now we're here. How did that just happen? Verse 9, a little leaven. Ooh, leaven's the whole lump. Have you ever cooked with yeast? And you put a little yeast in bread, what happens? It rises, right? Just a little bit of yeast will cause it to rise. You know, I always heard somebody say that brownies are very good, but if you put a little bit of poop in the mix, the whole batch is ruined, right? So a little leaven ruins the lump, right? And so he's saying to them, what are you listening to? You're listening to that old covenant, the old laws, those 620 ways of doing things the way that you think you should do them. And when you do that, you're not in the freedom of Christ. And so he's saying to them, he's reminding them again, every time we come to this, here's Paul saying to the people, hello, what are you doing? A little leaven leavens the lump. Now, those laws that they were going by was called legalism. We have it in the church today. It's probably sitting in this room right now. Because, see, legalism is something we like as Christians. Because it gives us some boundaries to stay on and some places that we can be safe in. And then we put that on other people and it starts to become judgments and it actually isn't scripture at all. It's actually just our path in our mind to keep ourselves on the straight and straight. And then it turns into legalism and we call it God. And that's what happened with the law. If you do this and if you do this and if you do, then you're righteous with God. But here's God saying, I sent my son. He took all that away. And that it's grace. You don't even deserve it. It's my grace that you're saved by. And that you're free from sin now. Who can do that? Not the law, not legalism. And so here's Paul reminding them. This legalism is like a leaven that leavens the whole lump. It spoils the whole lump. A little bit of stingy, stern, religious spirit will ruin even a women's Bible study. Because what happens? We forget grace. We forget the love of God. We forget compassion. You go, well, where's the medium? Yeah, that's a really fine line. Because then God says, no, you knew, and now I'm turned away from you. You see, there's many different parts in the Bible where God seems contradictory. But one thing that God is not contradictory on is his law of love and the new covenant and salvation is for you and I. And that we live in a freedom in this salvation. And for us to go back to legalism is not what that freedom has said or spoken over us. And so verse 10, and it says, I have confidence in you. Here he's encouraging them again. Like first he said, you ran well. Now he's like, I have confidence in you. And in the Lord, that you may have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear judgment, whoever he is. And listen to me. So many times you're going to have voices in your life that are not going to be godly, or maybe they are godly people, and you feel very under condemnation after you get done talking to them. It's not a conviction to change and to do better. It's a condemnation that you're not good enough and you'll never reach that mark. That is not God. God does not bring condemnation. God brings a conviction so that we can change, but he does not bring a condemnation. And so these people were condemning them and saying, well, if you don't do things this way, then you're wrong. If you don't do it this way, you're not saved. You're not going to heaven. You're not going to make it. And here's Paul saying, whew, he's so mad about it. Listen to how mad he is, okay? Now, so when everybody thinks I'm a big mouth and I am a hothead, I just want to say I love Paul, all right? Because there's a righteous anger that rises up inside of us. And he says, whoever these people are, first of all, he doesn't say this, but I believe God, those people will always be held accountable before God. They will have to answer for turning people's hearts, actually, from the freedom of Christ and keeping them in bondage of legalism. Verse 11, and I, brethren, if you still preach circumcision, remember they wanted him to preach circumcision. Why do I still suffer? If I taught circumcision, why am I still suffering? Why am I suffering persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who troubled you would even cut themselves off. Now hold on, girls. Hold on. It's going to get X-rated. Because we're talking about circumcision. That's where they cut the foreskin, the tip of the penis off. And it was a sign that they were covered by God in the old law. And now he's saying, I wish they would cut the whole thing off. It actually, in some of the versions, it says, I wish they would go mutilate themselves. So I just want to say, when you think I'm feisty, just look at Paul. Because here he is, he's going, they're freaking hypocrites, is what they're saying. They tell me to preach this, and yet they do this. They're contrary to the ways of God, and they're dressed up like they're Christians, like they're going to lead you in the right spot. Open your eyes and know who you are, and remember the law in which we are under. It's the covenant law of love. We are no longer under that old law. So Paul is like mad. Why is Paul mad? Because Paul gave everything to get what God had for these people to them so they can have a breakthrough, so they could be broken free from hell, so that their sin wouldn't encamp them and enclose them and trap them for the rest of their lives, so that they could be free from sin and shame, so that they could understand the goodness of the glory of God. And yet, here they are keeping themselves in a box of tradition, law, and places of what everyone thinks they should do. So here it is, verse 13. For you, brethren. Brethren means believers. You and I, girlfriend. Turn to the girl next to you and go, me. You. That's us. Have been called to liberty. Only not use liberty for as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, so here's the condition, if is a condition, right? If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. How many times have you watched Christians fight and it's been dirty? And you're like, aren't you guys Christians? Shouldn't you like make that work? Well, they were biting and devouring each other. Right there is what happened. It will happen in the Christian community with believers. So girls, how then, I want to pose this question to you. How then do we walk in freedom like Paul is begging the Galatians to walk in? Some of you have been living in bondage. Some of you are still under the oppression of generational curses from the generations that have gone before you. You live the same way your mama lived, your auntie lived, your grandma lived. And I'm here to tell you today, you can break that curse and you can step into the freedom of Christ. Some of you are in a mindset that you are not good enough. And that you, there's not enough. And God, you know, oh, woe me. And yet I'm here to tell you today, what are you doing? You're wallowing in a world you don't belong in. Because you live in a world and have been given the gift of freedom. You have been given the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit operating in you. You are a daughter of the King. And yet here is Paul saying to them the same thing. Church, what are you doing? You were running well and now these people come in and they sway you. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? How do we walk in this freedom? Number one, girls, to keep yourself anchored, to keep yourself in line, you have to remember you are called to freedom. It's a calling. It's a summonsing. It's an appointed place. When Satan comes to tell you, oh, it's just so bad and you messed up, so there's no way back. Oh, look how bad you are. Nobody likes you. It's just how it's going to. And you start believing the lies. And all of a sudden, the call starts to fade. And you forget that you're in freedom and you find yourself with chains and your hands tied behind your back. And you no longer look like the daughter of the king, but you look like an arrested prisoner of sin and shame. And yet, here is Paul saying to them, what are you doing? I want to pose that question to you. Are you living called? Are you living free? See, I had to do some heart check this week. I had to literally sit in these scriptures and go, whoo, forgive me, God. All right, let's journal this one out. So believe me, I'm not posing questions. I'm not working through myself. I'm not any more anointed to walk this out than you are. I'm just anointed to deliver it. I am a human like you, and I've got to work this out in my life as much as you do. But I'll tell you something right now. The word is what holds us. The word is what keeps us. The word is what reminds us. And I'm here today to remind you that you are called into freedom. So number one, Galatians 5:13, it says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Liberty is freedom. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for your flesh, and through love serve one another's. You see, Jesus Christ wants to have your life full of liberty and freedom. You say, but I feel like nothing is free in my life. I feel so bound by the situations I find myself in, or by my financial outlook, or by my discouragement, and my feelings are overwhelming, Pastor Jess. I can't get past them. I don't know how to get past those thoughts that you talked about. I don't know how to step in and be the girl that I know is in there. I just don't know how to pull her out. But I'm here today to tell you that you are called, that you need to know that you are loved, and that God has already given you the gift of freedom. That when sin comes knocking at your door, that's not your definition of your full life. When sin comes knocking at the door, you can kick sin out and say, oh no, I am free. I am called. I am anointed by God. And that no matter what God is happening in my life, no matter what hell is against me, God is before me, and I'm going to stay called. I'm going to walk in my purpose. I'm going to do what God's asked me to do. There has to be this tenacious spirit of fight in you girls to hold on to the call, because I'll tell you, everything's going to rip your call away from you. Everything. It's Satan's job to take away your freedom. Now listen, we're not talking about freedom on the terms of the color of our skin or what's fair in this nasty world we live in. No, those are minimal compared to the freedom of Christ. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about spiritual freedom. We're talking about love, the law of love, which has no lines in the sand, which is beyond all, where everyone is a part of it. You see, we are talking about something supernatural, and love is the supreme power of the universe, and the supreme power's name is Jesus, and he is love. And so when you do not understand who your God is, you cannot step in and say, oh, I am called into freedom because I have the love of God bestowed upon me. Girls, you might have to walk down your hallways at home and go, I am called into freedom. Even though I feel bound, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I am free by the stripes on the cross. I am free because my God died and he paid a price so that I can be free. I don't know if anyone knows how free we are, because we live in the boo-hoo world that we live in. And girls, I'm talking to me, but it is time to change, because we have to be different. We have to. 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 18 in the Amplified, it says, but whenever a person turns in repentance of faith to the Lord, the veil has been taken away. Isn't that good news? So when you've asked Jesus to come in your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, or you have found yourself in sin, even as a believer, and you go to the throne room and you say, God, forgive me, then right then you are now free, and you can see clearly, and the Holy Spirit can begin to minister to you. But when you are in sin, you have a veil over you, and you cannot have a path to Christ because you have separated yourself from God. And so God is saying, remember, you are called to freedom. You have this access Verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Isn't that good news? Emancipation from bondage, true freedom. And we all, with an unveiled face, continually see in a mirror of the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed, amen, into his image from one degree of glory to even more. Glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see, so many times you're going to have to remind yourself when you don't feel it. You know, there's that saying, you're all up in your feelings. Well, get out of them and get yourself in the Spirit. Get out of the feelings and get into the Spirit. And remember, I don't feel this, but I know this. And I know I'm free in Christ. And I know that's a safe place for me. And I know that's where I'm anchored. And I know that's where God shows up. And I know that's where God goes before me and is my defender. Where I know that I can hear the voice of God and in an instant something can change. That's where you need to go. That's where your place of faith needs to stay. Get out of your feelings and step into the Spirit. Because when you're in the Spirit, you see clearly and you know clearly and you will do clearly. You will do what God has asked you to do. I have a story for you. A small boy was constantly coming home late from school. His parents warned him that he must be home on time this afternoon, but nevertheless, he arrived late, as he always did. His mother met him at the door, and she said nothing. His dad met him in the living room, and he said nothing. At dinner that night, the boy looked at his plate. There was a slice of bread and a glass of water, and he looked at his dad's plate, which was full. It had steak and potatoes, green beans and salad, and the boy was silent as the dad stared at him in silence, and the boy's heart was crushed. The father waited for the full impact to sink in, then quietly took the boy's plate, placed it in front of himself. He took his own plate with the meat and the potatoes, and he put it in front of his son and smiled at him. When the boy grew to be a man, he said, "All of my life I have known what God is like by what my father did that day. I was undeserving of a good meal because I was disobedient, but yet he loved me enough to give me his portion." That's what your freedom is, girls. You may not deserve it, but you are called in it. Your freedom is free because Christ paid a price for you to have the freedom in him and to bear all the beautiful gifts that come with all that God has for you. Just like that boy, let's remember who God is. We can also be so hard on ourselves. How about you? I don't know about you. I can beat myself up pretty good. Like, I don't need other people. I just got myself. But because we love the Lord, we can feel inadequate, right? So many times you feel like such a failure, right? Because you're like, I do love you, God, and how could I have allowed that to happen? And then you beat yourself up and you're like miserable, right? Well, that's very normal, guys. I need to tell you, number one, you're normal, okay? So you're not weird or a sinner. But what you need to remember is you got to turn that around because God has given us his freedom so that we don't have to live in condemnation. So when we don't make it right or when we don't do things the way we think we should have done them, I want you to remember something. I want you to remember that your Father in heaven is ready and waiting for you to give you that big old plate of meat and potatoes and say, it's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. I want you to remember that in your freedom, that you are not alone, that you don't have to do life alone. You might feel alone because maybe you're going, oh, I don't really have friends, or my family has abandoned me, or there's, you know, this trial and this situation has made things just so hard. But I'm here to tell you, you're never alone. God says that he is your lover. He is your best friend. He is your counselor. You just need to tap in and allow him to be those things in your life. You need to be not codependent on humans, but you need to be codependent on God. You need to allow him to be your everything. You need to not be able to function without him. He needs to be everything to you. And you see, here's God, and he's coming after you. He's raging after you. He came from heaven to earth just for you. When he died on that cross, and he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do," he was speaking about you. Not the people that put him on that cross because your sin and my sin did. But he looked and saw our faces. And he said all those years ago, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he died as a spotless lamb so we could live free. How humongous is that? Remember, you're called to freedom. You're special. So you need to make some time to allow him to have place in your life. Make some time to have some room with God in your life. Slow down enough to hear his voice again. Slow down enough to see his presence again. Make time for him. Because when you do that, everything else will catch up and it will fall into place. You see, God's grace and salvation and freedom is not cheap. We as Christians need to embrace and accept what Christ has given us. This is our calling and this is your place of freedom. Number two, don't misuse our freedom. So now that we know we've got freedom, we have the gifts, we have blessings, we have all the things coming at us, how do we misuse them? You know, there's a doctrine that's been going around, they call it the grace message. I don't want to go against it because I love grace and I believe in it and I know it to be true. But they've twisted it so far that you can sin. I actually literally heard a preacher who's pretty famous say, well, even if you're sleeping with your boyfriend and you know that it's wrong, you're already forgiven, so it's okay. And I went, whoa, you're leading people to hell. Like, that's wrong. Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says grace is free, and we are forgiven. But he also tells us that we have to come and approach the throne with mercy. And we have to have a repentant heart. We have to come before the Lord. And so here, this is what Paul is referring to. He says, only do not use liberty, your freedom, as an opportunity for your flesh. See, now people nowadays think this. Ooh, I'm a good sinner and God's a good forgiver. You go, what? Guys, I come across it all the time. And people literally think that. And the reality is, yes, he is a good forgiver. But if you are willfully sinning, you are in a dangerous place. And Satan is working on your behalf, and you do not have God's grace and mercy operating in your life at that time. And see, you better pray your mama's praying for you at that point in your life. But this is a good warning to not live this way as believers. What will you do with your freedom, girls? I want to ask you that question. What will you do with your freedom? Ask yourself that question. We can use it to please ourselves at the expense of others, which I'm sure all of you are thinking about somebody who did that to you, or at the expense of God. See, liberty does not mean that that gives us the right to sin. Or it's our privilege to do whatever is evil in our heart wants to do. That is not freedom. That is not liberty. That is not grace in operating work. It is talking about freedom from the world, but flesh and sin, and it wants to entangle us. So here it is, guys. When you are unsaved and when you have not asked Jesus to come into your heart and be the Lord and Savior of your life, I've met a ton of people that are like, oh, but God knows my intentions. I've heard that many times. And I'm like, yeah, but you have a responsibility before Christ to be holy as he is holy. That's what the word says. That means that you don't stay the same, but we are ever changing to be more like him in the image of who he is. And when Jesus walked this earth, he didn't act a fool like you just told me you did. You see, the reality is that we have a responsibility as Christians to grow up spiritually and maturely and to walk in all of the freedom that God has given us, but that does not give us permission to sin. Paul says it in Romans. He says, should I sin that grace should abound? No! Because grace is already, yes, operating. It doesn't give you permission to sin, though. Okay? So do we have that free? We understand that. This is not liberty. Let's not be the children of God that abuse our privileges or our God-given rights, but let's be people that God can trust and know that they're going to be holy and just and that they're working towards what it is. Maybe you haven't reached it, girls. Listen, we're never going to reach it until we get to heaven, right? We're never going to be perfect. We live in a fallen world. We are fallen people, but we are redeemed by Christ. That means that we can pick ourselves back up when we make a mistake, and we can keep going forward and ask God to forgive us, pick us up, dust us off, and move on. We don't have to live in our sin and shame. We don't have to let that define us. It doesn't have to be the curse on our lives. You see, girls, there is power to break all of that. And yet I see so many Christians living busted and disgusted and nasty and broke down, and they just don't know how to move forward. Well, it's because they're not literally living in the freedom of Christ, and yet they've used their sin as a justification. Oh, well, God loves me, and he knows my intentions, and he knows what my heart really meant. Yeah, that's scary. He actually is the judge of the heart. I'm not, but he is. And if he knows what's in there, you better make sure that's really actually righteous and not what you're telling me out of your mouth. Because what you're saying out of your mouth, the Bible also talks about, and it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You see, what's in you? What's coming up out of you? What are you putting in you, girls? Because that's what will come up out of you. We were talking yesterday as some staff, and we were saying about how when the pressure comes, how people's mouths change, you know? They're like, ooh, praise Jesus, God's good. Oh, he's amazing. Oh, praise God. And then when the pressure's on, you start hearing the cuss words slipping, and you're like, wait, hold on. I mean, I literally was watching this show, and this lady was using the F-bomb, and then she was like, oh, we're going to pray for him and believe God for him. And I was like, please shut up. Please shut up, because you look so foolish right now. We cannot look like fools. We cannot use our freedom in Christ and justify it with worldly, fleshly desires and ways. It just doesn't work. They're two different worlds, guys. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not going to mess up, sure. But that means we leave those things behind. You now have the freedom of Christ to leave sin. You have the freedom of Christ to say no to that. You say, well, Pastor Jess, I'm one of those girls that cuss a lot. Well, then guess what? Start asking God to change your mouth. Start asking the Holy Spirit, hey, I don't want to cuss anymore. I need you to edify my spirit. I want to feel a conviction when I speak it so that I feel so bad that I don't do it again, God. You see, you got to get God in the middle of it so that he can help you break apart from it. You see, sin is going to be a bondage for you until you invite the Holy Spirit to come in and work his power in you to remove it. You have the power to remove sin. But sometimes it's a familiar spirit and we like it. It's comfort because it's all we've ever known. We only know a good argument to raise drama in the family. But how about you don't be a gossip and shuttest thou upest? And you don't have to be the one to say everything. That's a discipline. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. You see, there are things that we can break, places that put us in dangerous zones, that if we use the power of God, even though we feel it and our flesh is screaming and we want to give into it, we can say, no, I have God's power in me to do what his word demands of me. That means that I'm going to see what God's word says about this, and I'm going to begin to fight this thing off, and it will no longer be a stronghold. It will no longer be a generational curse. It will no longer be a weight in your life, but you have to choose to fight it. And you cannot allow it to become what others see as your Christian walk. Your sin will confuse them. We cannot be a slave to this sin. Galatians 5:1 talks about this, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It was for this freedom that Christ set us free, completely liberating us. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery which you once removed. That means when you ask God to come into your heart, be the Lord and Savior of your life, you are now saved from sin. And then what we're doing is we're taking back on the yoke of sin when we choose to do things in our flesh and in our own way and not in the spirit. What does a yoke look like? Do you remember the oxen? A long time ago, they would wear these big old wooden things and it would link the oxen together. And that's how they controlled the oxen and showed them which direction to go. Well, that is exactly what that is like. You are having the yoke of bondage upon you. And here it says, in verse, where am I at? Hold on. Keep us from standing firm and subject again to the yoke of slavery. It's like a yoke. It's like it's a bondage. It keeps them where it wants them. Sin will keep you where you don't want to stay. It'll take you further than you don't want to go. You see, sin will take you all the way to hell. And check this out. God will love you all the way to hell. It is your choice to turn and take a hold of what God has for you and say no to sin, because the power and the freedom of God is working in you to say no to sin. But we have to say no. And we have to go, we're not going to allow that to be what straps us, what holds us, and what keeps us. So girls, what are some patterns in your life that haven't been actually godly, but they're pretty much fleshly? And you're going, oh, I need to change that in my life. Maybe it's your speech. Maybe it's what you're watching. Maybe it's what you're listening to. What are you filling yourself with? Romans 8, 12 through 14, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what a sinful nature urges you to do. Ooh, I like that. I like the way it says that. You have no obligation to do sin, so don't. Verse 13, for if you live by it, it dictates you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. You've got to put those things under the blood. You've got to get out from under that. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Isn't that good news? That his grace is there to help you out of sin. His grace is there to give you the answers and to bring you back and restore you fully and to give you the love that you've never experienced. His grace is there to do what it is that you cannot do on your own, church. But yet, sometimes we forget, and our flesh just becomes so active. And believe me, I understand, this stupid flesh can scream, right? And we can just, well, they just made me so mad. Yeah, well, what did you do? What was your reaction? It's one thing, you can put the blame on everyone else. But really, you know, when you're pointing like this, there's three fingers pointing back at yourself. That's why I always point like this. Okay, I'm just joking, but still. Because we have to look at ourselves in every situation. And no matter what someone else did, we have a responsibility to hold on to what the Word requires of us and the power that is flowing through us and to operate in that on a daily basis. So no person can keep the law of God perfectly. There you go, okay? But unlike unbelievers who will be condemned for it for all eternity, believers are exempt of condemnation. We have the freedom of Christ now. We have the forgiveness of Christ that we are going to be saved and live for eternity with him. But you have to keep your heart right and not allow sin to take you away from God. You see, you have the power to do this. Spirit inside of us as believers gives us a new life of freedom. Freedom to not sin, but to enjoy the liberty of Christ that only salvation brings. Let me give you an example. Freedom does not mean the absence or the constraints of moral absolutes. Okay? Suppose a skydiver, picture a skydiver, jumping out over 10,000 feet, and he announces to the rest of the group, "I'm not using my parachute this time. I want freedom." The fact is that skydiver is constrained by a greater law called gravity. But when the skydiver chooses the constraint of the parachute, he is free to enjoy the exhilaration of freedom still within the confines of the parachute. God's moral laws act in the same way. They restrain, but they are absolutely necessary to enjoy the exhilaration of real freedom. Freedom from sin. That's what it is. I've heard the saying just recently, "Oh, you Christians, you don't know how to have fun." But I'm here to tell you, oh, I was in the world, and fun only lasts for a season. And you will get burned by what they call fun, and you will no longer be laughing, but you will be hurting. But I'm here to tell you that with Christ, you can do it. It actually is fun to serve God. You get to have fun and laugh, and you can still be yourself. When you come and you find girlfriends that are Christians and other believers that are going to encourage you in the ways of God, that are going to pray for you when you need help, that when you're struggling in an area, they're not going to judge you, but they're going to help you get out of it, and they're going to hold you accountable to it. You see, these are actually healthy things, and they are fun. We have fun. I don't know about you, but when I'm with my girls, I have a blast. Like, we laugh so hard. I have fun with my kids. I have fun with my family. I might not have to go out and get drunk to have fun. That's not real fun. You're doling something down that you're not dealing with because you don't have the power of God working in your life and you don't trust God enough to deal with it. You see, God wants to be your everything. And to serve Christ freely is fun. It really is. That's the freedom of Christ, is we get to have fun together. Number three, we're going to dive into this one. Am I okay on time? Are you guys okay? Okay, last one. We got to walk in love. Whoo, you're like, I don't like that one, Pastor Jazz. You know, people are annoying. Yeah, they are. People do really dumb things. Yep, so do you. So Galatians 5, 13 through 15, it says, "For you, brethren, you have been called to liberty, only not to use your liberty for the opportunity for your flesh, but through love, supreme power of the universe, right? Through love, God, Jesus, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, you least will be consumed by one another." What is love? I'm going to pose that question to you guys. Go ahead, talk to me. What do you think love is? You guys are so rock church people. Personal self-sacrifice for the betterment of someone else. Complete opposite of what our world does right now. Right? They won't even let you over on the freeway. So what is love? It's personal self-sacrifice for the betterment of someone else. See, God did this by sending Jesus for us. He sent his only begotten son so that you could have the freedom in Christ, so he could take on our sin and our shame, and he could become that spotless lamb so that today, girls, we get to live into the freedom of Christ. That's so beautiful. Love is a choice. It's an action. Do you know that sometimes you may not feel love? Ooh, there have been so many times I haven't felt love. But I do continue to walk it out. I do continue to make the choice to do love, to walk in love, and to be love. Why? Not because it's easy, no, but because that's what I do, because I love God, because God is in me, and because I represent Jesus Christ. So when you don't feel love, love is not just a feeling, it's an action, and it's a choice. The world wants to tell you it's all feeling. The world is in lust. That's what it's a counterfeit love. It's not a real love. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us what love is. "If I speak in tongues of men and of angels and I do not have love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal." Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody where they talk a lot, right, but you never see the action of what they're saying? After a while, what do? You don't believe him anymore, right? Like, you're kind of like, whatever. I don't know if you're really going to show up. I don't know if I can count on you. Like, it becomes a clanging cymbal, right? Like, you're like, oh, there's a lot of talk, but there's no action. But that's not love. Number two, and it says, "If you have prophecy and you know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but I do not love, I am nothing. If I give away everything that I own and I give over my own body to boast, but do not love, I receive no benefit." Verse 4, "Because love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envious. It does not brag. It is not puffed up. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered or resentful. It is not glad about injustice, but it rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends." You see, love is massive. And when we walk out love in our everyday life, it is our goal as Christians to strive to do love the way 1 Corinthians says to do it. So many times, I'll be so frustrated with someone or something or a situation, and I'll be like, ugh, you know, and I'm very, like, loud and feisty, and I'll hear the Holy Spirit go, "You're not being long-suffering." I'm like, "How much must I suffer?" He goes, "Long." I'm like, fine. So listen, you're not always going to be great at all of these. It's just our goal to strive to be there. Something just happened to me recently. And I was in a situation where the Lord had given me a word about this situation. And the word was to be kind and to pray. This word was given to me a few years ago. And this person came back into my life, and they were talking to me again, and I'm getting irritated as they're talking because there's still something there. And there's still a certain way. And I'm like, "They don't get it, God." And he goes, "But what did I tell you to do?" And I went right back to 2 years ago. And I went, "Be kind and pray." So I was kind. And guess what I did? I committed to pray in a deeper, bigger way. Guys, I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying that to show you, like, I have to hold on to these things as well. I have to tell myself, be kind. Because you can be a brat. Be nice. Don't be short. Don't be rude. Don't be passive aggressive. Listen, everybody knows you're being passive aggressive. You know, what is passive aggressive? Okay, the other day, I'll give you a little example. I eat a cookie a day because I live with a baker, okay, and I'm still on a diet, and I still eat a cookie a day. And so she did not have any cookies in the cookie jar. And so I'm walking out the door the other day, and I said, it would just be so nice if when I get home, there would be cookies in the cookie jar. Goodbye, guys. See you after school today. That was passive aggressive. I should have just said, Chloe, when you get home, please make me some cookies. You see, we have our ways of doing things, and it could be snotty. And people pick up on that, and that's not kind. So what is it about ourselves that God is asking us to look at and go, ooh, are you walking this out in love? You're not responsible for how other people are, but you're responsible for how you are. And so how are you doing this? Are you doing this well? I'm asking not because Jess is perfect. I'm asking because I'm so unperfect. And believe me, like I said, this whole word this week was like, I don't want to preach this. I have another story for you. 1 inch from the fence is a book that was written by Wes Selinger. And he writes this, and I love this. I think it was such a cool quote. And he says, I've spent many hours in the hospital in intensive care units, watching with anguish people, listening to their urgent questions that they ask the doctor. Will my husband make it? Will my child ever walk again? How do I live without my companion of 30 years? The intensive care waiting room is very different from all other places in the world. And the people who wait there are different. They can't do enough for each other. No one is rude. No distractions of race or class. They all melt away in that room. A person is a father first and a black man second. A garbage man loves his wife just as much as a university professor loves his. And everyone understands this. Each person pulls for everyone else. In this intensive care unit waiting room, the world changes. Vanity and pretense vanishes, and the universe is focused on the doctor's next report. If only it will show improvement. Everyone knows that that loving someone else is what life is all about. Could we learn to love like we realize that everyday life in that waiting room? Can you learn to love like we're sitting in that waiting room with people different than you, not like you, from different backgrounds than you, but still we choose to walk in love with each other, and we choose to be together, we choose to fight together, and we choose to stand together? Can we love that way? Loving others is what Christianity is all about. It's more than just a feeling. It is a way of our life. This is the challenge for all people. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, how he loved us, how he saved us, how he rescued you. He has come after you. He went out of his way for you and sent his son. He came and put his son on a cross for you. Love doesn't give the right to abuse. So I want to make this clear, and I want to put this in here, because love does not put up with something dangerous or abusive or something evil or allowing evil to stay close to you. Okay, that is actually not love. So you don't confuse yourself and be like, well, I'm walking out in love even though he's beating the crap out of me. No, get safe. Okay, like, and maybe it's evil, maybe there's demonic things, and you're like, but I love them and I don't want them to go out and be on their own. And it might be your kids doing crazy stuff. And you're like, but I love them. Yeah, well, get that evil out of your home and pray for them from a distance and trust God with your child, because you cannot be allowing evil to come and overtake and take ground. All right? So that's not what I'm saying love is. Don't misunderstand. Love is keeping your heart right and walking out 1 Corinthians, like we talked about. We are all striving for this. In these verses, it talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. Let's go there for a second. The real question I want to pose to you is, do you like who you are? Do you love you? I heard one lady say, yes, that's awesome. But I'm sure many of you said, I don't like myself. I don't like this about me. And you could go down a list of things you don't like about yourself, right? Well, if not, and then the other real question is, do you like you? If not, how can you love others like Jesus loves you? What does Jesus see in you that you do not see in yourself? I'm going to tell you about a story that happened to me. About 2-3 years ago, I was in a really bad place. People are really mean and really cruel. And I was in a season where people were coming after me left and right, and they were all people that were Christians and that I loved. And so I was like, oh, maybe I should listen to them because they're like Christians and they were trusted voices in my life. And I was confused, and I was torn. Some of those criticisms came, and they were constructive, and they were godly, and I listened to them, and I changed, and I did what they told me to do because I know they were sent by God, and they did it with love. when somebody can come to you and hold you accountable to something, but you know there's love behind it, you're safe with that, right? But then there were other people that I loved and that I thought were trustworthy, and boy, they were just mean. They were just, I don't know what was in their heart, that's still between them and God, but it beat me up. It got me so low and so down that I actually hated myself. And that I didn't want to step into a pulpit and I never wanted to be in ministry again. I begged God that if I can please leave ministry, can I still just be a Christian and not be a pastor? Because I was so beat up and I was so broken and I was so defeated. And the Holy Spirit began to do a new work inside of me. Showed me how I was actually under attack because he had asked me to step into a new place and a new position to use my voice. And so Satan didn't like that. And he began to ask me to do some things, and I went into deep, deep therapy with the Holy Spirit. And as I was journaling, he asked me one day, he said, I want you to write 7 things that you like about yourself. And I went, oh gosh, okay. And I think I wrote something stupid like, I like my curly hair, but not really. It's really annoying when it gets frizzy. And then, like, and I wrote, like, all these other things about why I actually didn't like it. So I would talk myself out of the few things that I liked about myself. And I was having the hardest time with this. And in that journal, I never finished. I never finished. I never got to the 7. So in that process of years of being with God and sitting under the word and having accountability partners and letting wise women speak into my life and help me walk through healing, and I got counseling, and there were just things that I did so that I could be healthy. And I got back to where I needed to be, and 3 years later, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to write 7 things that you like about yourself. And I was like, oh, we're doing this again? Okay. And I started writing all the things that God had called me to do. And it wasn't hard this time, and I didn't feel weird about it. I didn't feel like I was bragging. I just felt like I was just kind of bragging on who God was. And then the Holy Spirit said this to me, now I want you to write because I'm going to tell you what I like about you. And I wrote forever. I have like 10 pages of thoughts that he thinks towards me and how he saw me, even though they said that, he saw me this way. And I'm here to tell you today, the same God that did that for me, he wants to do that for you. And that your God thinks so highly of you that he's absolutely in love with you. And that every part of who you are, he knitted it together and he created every part of you because he loves you. And you've got to, girls, get yourself on a path to find out how much he loves you so that you can then love yourself and be okay with who you are and be okay with, yeah, your mistakes, but you know what? You move on and you grow up and you're not the same person anymore. And don't beat yourself up. It's in the past and we're moving forward. And those don't define who you are now. And you see, those things that you could beat yourself up with, they become a thing of the past, the thought of the past, because you're walking it out in love. Because the love of God is walking through you, and because he loves you, you can love others. Because God cares for you. John 13:34 says this, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Because he loves you, you can love yourself. And then because you love yourself, you can then love your neighbor. You might not be on that path yet, and that's okay. But let's get you on that path to where you can get to a place where you're healthy about yourself. We have so many tools here at The Rock for you. You might need to go to Breaking Free and just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to do something new inside of your heart and show you how much and what he has for you. You might need to go and sit down with a pastor and have some spiritual guidance and talk through some things. Have some accountability partners with people around your table. You might need to start joining a small group or a prayer group. You might need to just go and get yourself surrounded by people that are going to encourage you and lift you up and fill you up. Get into the house of God. That's where you're going to find your healing. I just pressed in. Even though I was so broken, I just kept going because that's all I knew what to do was just keep going. Even though I was broken, I was like, I'm just going to keep going. And I kept going, girls. And I'm here to tell you on the other side of that, I'm so glad I kept going because Satan will try and rob you of the love that God has already given you. You are called to walk out in love every single day, the freedom of Christ's love in your life. You can say no to sin. So do not let anyone persuade you, but walk in the love of Christ that he has for you. You see, how do we walk out in freedom? We are called to freedom. Don't misuse your freedom and walk it out in love.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.